We read two stories today from the Old Testament, one from the book of Genesis and one from the book of Joshua. And they both took place in the same place, which was in Shechem, by the oak groves of Moreh, and especially by one oak. It is very likely that this oak was the same oak where Jacob buried the foreign gods and where Joshua set up the stone of remembrance, that they would testify to the covenant they made to put away foreign gods. For in this place, both of them put away the foreign gods. And we also think of this as a place of an oak because an oak corresponds to eternity, because an oak is so long lived. The specific oak mentioned here was called the strong oak, an oak that can live for over 1,000 years. And so we think of remembrance, and we think today of Memorial Day, a time to remember, a time to remember those who fought, and more importantly, to remember the Lord who fought with them. And it's interesting that this was also the first place when Jacob was called to the land of Canaan that he came to, the oak groves of Moreh. And we read about this place in the Heavenly Doctrine. It says that this oak grove of Moreh signifies the Lord's first perception, for he was yet a child, and his spiritual things were not more interior than this. Besides, the oak grove of Moreh was where the sons of Israel first came when they passed over the Jordan and saw the land of Canaan, concerning which in Moses, "Thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not beyond the Jordan, behind the way of the going down of the sun, in the land of the Canaanite that dwelleth in the plain over against Gilgal, besides the oak groves of Moreh?" By which also is signified the first perception. For the entrance of the sons of Israel represents the entrance of the faithful into the Lord's kingdom. And so Abram, and also Jacob, and then Joshua brought the sons of Israel to this place. We remember the battles of Jericho and Ai. But these were necessary so that they could arrive at this place that they were commanded to go, to the city of Shechem, between the mountains of Ebal and Gerizim. And there it was there that Joshua read to them the whole law of Moses, especially the blessings and the curses. And what was this for? But to prepare them for the battles that were yet ahead. Yes, they had fought two battles, but immediately after they read this law, it says that the nations of Israel came up against them. Instead of fighting against cities now, they were being attacked. It was a defensive war, and they were prepared for this war by hearing the word of the Lord. And in the same way, we read from the Doctrine of Charity. It says, "Before the battle, he raises his mind to the Lord and commits his life into his hand. And after he has done this, he lets down his mind from its elevation into the body and becomes brave." And this is what they did. They were prepared for the battle against the nations in the land of Canaan, terrible nations who were sacrificing their children and worshiping idols that needed to be removed. They were prepared. This is also represents the battle for heaven, because the land of Canaan represented heaven. And so they came to this place between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, at the oak groves of Moreh, at that very oak where Joshua set up that stone as a remembrance to prepare for the battle. In the same way that a soldier, before he goes into war, should raise his mind to the Lord and commit his life into his hands. And in this is very similar to when we enter temptations. There is no way we can succeed in temptations if we do not raise our mind to the Lord, if we do not read his word and have those truths from the word so that we have the strength to go on. And so very much like a soldier fights in battle, we also have these battles, these spiritual battles ahead of us, so that we can win if the Lord is with us. For it is not us who conquers in temptation. It is the Lord alone. And so we read that after this, it says they let down their mind and became brave. In the same way, it says that in battle is another thing. For a soldier is not averse to the shedding of blood, for he does not think of it, but is the enemy of an enemy who desires his blood. And so the reason it's an oak tree here is because the oak tree represents the lowest things. It's an entangled tree. It lives a long time, but it's an entangled tree where the branches go in and out. And in battle, it's entangled. They're in the natural. They're not thinking spiritually. They're fighting. It's die or be killed. It's either be killed or fight. And so they fight against the enemy because they see the enemy as an enemy. And in spiritual battle, it's the same thing. In temptations, we are caught up in an entanglement. We don't see clearly, and yet we follow the Lord, even though we don't understand why. That is why it is a temptation, because we're caught up in this natural way of thinking. But the beauty of it is, it says, when he hears the sound of the drum calling him to desist from the slaughter, his fury ceases. He looks upon his captives after victory as neighbors, according to the quality of their good. He raises himself up out of that. In a similar way, Joshua called them back to that city of Shechem. And at that oak tree, he set up that stone as a remembrance. They were called back. They were called back to bury those things as Jacob did, those foreign gods, to let those natural things go back down and raise their mind up after the temptation into the things of charity. That is how a battle works. One raises their mind to the Lord, and then in temptation, although we're in doubts, although we're in natural thinking, and in also in battle, although it's blood and so on, they're not thinking about that. The Lord is within. And so afterward, they're called up again. And when Jacob returned home, very much like a soldier returning home from the battle, for Jacob had 20 years of hard labor in the land of Paddan Aram, what did he do? He came back, and the first thing, as he was called to Bethel, but he had to go through Shechem. Interesting that Joshua went through Bethel to get to Shechem. Jacob went from Shechem to Bethel, and there he said, bury those foreign gods. They were meant to put away those natural things and come back to a state of charity. And that is why the oak tree was there. Bury them forever. Not let them trouble him anymore. But go back to the Lord and to the life of charity that he lived before. And so a soldier has those three stages. He prepares himself for the battle by raising his mind to the Lord. He goes into the battle in a tangled way, in confusion, and then he comes out of the battle and is reminded. He has a choice to choose the foreign gods, the horrible things that he saw, or to choose the Lord as his God. And the sons of Israel chose the Lord as their God. In the true Christian religion, as we were reading in our recitation, there's a little more there that says that one's country should be loved, not as one loves himself, but more than himself, is a law inscribed on the human heart, from which has come the well-known principle which every true man endorses, that if the country is threatened with ruin from an enemy or from any other source, it is noble to die for it and glorious for a soldier to shed his blood for it. This is said because so great one's love should be for it. After they went to the oak in Shechem, Jacob with his family, they went on, and Deborah, the nurse of Rebekah, died, and they buried her also under an oak in Bethel. There was two kinds of oak trees here. The first one is where you bury the foreign gods, and the second one where they weep. They weep over what is lost. And so also, we often think of the soldiers who gave their lives, and we call it the ultimate sacrifice. But there's two kinds of soldiers in a war. There's those who live and those who die. And we remember those who die, but we often don't think about those who live and what they went through. They having to bury those things that they went through when they come back. And so we think of weeping over those who died, but they're in the Lord's hands. They committed themselves in the Lord's hands, and it says if they died, they died in the Lord. But we often don't think about those who lived, who had to live through those atrocities, who may have had to kill somebody else to protect their nation. They also, part of them died and part of them lives, and may it also live in the Lord. And so we remember Memorial Day for those who die, but let us also remember those who live in the Lord. Both have gone through war, and both have to bury what is merely natural. And it is the same way in spiritual temptation. Something dies over which we weep, but something lives. And that is the purpose of temptation. That is the purpose of war, that evils and falsities may be put away, that those gods and idols of the foreign nations may be put down so that we can follow the Lord, so that we can say, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. We need to have that strength. And so, unfortunately, there are temptations in our life, and there's wars in the world, both of which prove ourselves. But we have a wonderful quotation which reminds us of the power of the Lord when he is in war. This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to bring good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the bound the opening of the prison, to proclaim a year of good pleasure to Yahuwah, and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to set the mourners of Zion, to give them a tiara instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a dim spirit, that they may be called the oaks of justice, the planting of Yahuwah to give splendor.